Question: who invented hospitals? Answer: the Christian Church. We're going to talk today about the link between Christianity and healthcare, and even the way in which sometimes Christians, against their will, are being attacked by secular forces to try and force them to do abortions at Catholic hospitals, for example. This is happening by the ACLU and other groups, and the Obama administration is coming down hard on the Little Sisters of the Poor, trying them to force them to support abortifacients against their will. Meanwhile, just look around at the hospitals that you know of. You see names like Holy Cross, Baptist Hospital, St. Luke's Presbyterian, Good Samaritan. What does that all mean? We're going to talk right now with Dr. Well, he's not doctor, but one day he will be. My good friend, William J. Federer, best-selling author, AmericanMinute.com. For Vocal Point, I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Bill, welcome to the program.
Jerry, great to be with you.
Hey, listen, on all this hard work you've done as a great speaker and author, did anybody at any institution ever offer you an honorary doctorate?
Yes, I've got
an honorary doctorate
from Midwest University and American Christian College.
Well, you know, I'll tell you something. I had an interesting conversation with Dr. D. James Kennedy about this once, because, you know, he had multiple degrees, including the PhD that he earned at New York University. Of course, if you have a PhD, you have to earn it, right? But he said that sometimes, you know, when you look at the honorary doctorates, there's a sense in which you have earned it, because what it means is that that institution thought enough of you and your work to say, you know, here's this doctorate that we're going to bestow on you.
Well, I'm honored, and I feel that we there's a critical lack of knowledge of our history.
Yes.
And Arthur Schlesinger was a historian on John F. Kennedy's staff. He said, "History is to the nation what memory is to the individual." And so, if you can imagine an individual who's lost their memory, maybe they have Alzheimer's, and they're totally at the mercy of other people. They don't know where they are. They don't know
so true.
Who you are. In America, we've lost our corporate memory. Here we are, the freest, most prosperous country, and we forgot how we got here.
Yeah.
And in particular, this program, we forgot about hospitals. And you would think, oh, gee, I guess the government created them. Well, no, quite the opposite.
All right, so let's go ahead and show us the link between the Christian Church and hospitals.
Well, there were some ancient cultures that had superstitious medical practices, but it was only for the royalty and the wealthy. It was, believe it or not, the Catholic Church is the oldest institution in the Western world, and it is the originator of hospitals. Now, you go back far enough, and it was the early church, and so you look back and you trace these roots. Now, in the Eastern Orthodox world, the Syrian Church, it pioneered medical care in the East. There was one family that had nine generations of doctors, and one wrote a book on ophthalmology that was used for like the next nine centuries, you know, the medicine of the eye. And in the West, the church put into practice Jesus' words, "I was sick and you visited me. Whatever you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done to me." And, of course, the story of the Good Samaritan brings him to the wounded person into an inn, pours oil and wine, and tells them that take care of this person and I'll be back. And so it was the fourth century under the ministry of St. Jerome, who was in Rome, where there was a wealthy widow named St. Fabiola, and she gave money to build a hospital for the poor in Rome, and she actually cared for the sick herself. And so this was this practice that was beginning in that couple centuries, where if you really became a Christian, you were expected to give away all your money and help the poor. In the next century, it took another step and said, give away your money and live in a cave or join a monastery, and sort of withdrew from the culture, we are trying to say, no, you need to stay involved in the culture.
Yeah, well, wait. In defense of monks at that time, let me just say this. God bless those monks in the Middle Ages. They transmitted Western civilization. Without them, we wouldn't have the copies of the Bible. We wouldn't have the copies of Homer. We wouldn't have the copies of the writings from, you know, the Latin period, the Greeks, etc. So, and in fact, I even read that the monks of the Middle Ages, they cultivated all the arable land initially in Europe. They did a lot of things in those monasteries beyond just contemplation and prayer, and we are the beneficiaries of that. Now, in the meantime, God keeps reinventing the Christian church in different ways, and, you know, as they said in that movie, Chariots of Fire, what we need is a musket of Christian. And so our times change, but believe me, Western civilization, the whole world is better off because of those medieval monks. But go on back to healthcare.
Right. Well, they also were being invaded by Attila the Hun and the Visigoths and Ostrogoths, and who were trashing and ransacking cities, sort of similar to what Muslims like ISIS, they're destroying churches and graves and monasteries. And so you had to put valuable documents into secure places to preserve that history. Around the time of St. Basil, he was known to distribute food to the poor in Caesarea, and then built a poorhouse, and then built a hospice, and then built a hospital. And the word hosp is Latin for traveler. You see, people would go on pilgrimages to the Holy Land and to be at the place where Christ walked and was crucified and rose from the dead. And so these travelers would come from far distances and would often come worn out and sometimes sick. And so they would be at these places for travelers, hostels. And the word hotel comes from that same root word, and host. But if they arrived sick, they were cared for. And that's where we get the term hospital and hospitality. Well, hospitals were staffed by religious orders, and they took it as a calling to care for the travelers and the sick people. By the 6th century, there was I wanted to mention Constantine at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. Lots of decisions were made at that council, but one of them was that every cathedral should also have a hospital. And the cathedrals are where people would take the pilgrimages to. And so that's why they felt, well, while they're here, let's have a place where they can rest and get better. And so this was, part of the innovation of the idea of a hospital. In the 6th century, the Benedictine order established that every monastery should have an infirmary, someplace, again, where people can recuperate and get better. Then the Muslims invaded into Syria, beginning in 634 A.D., and they conquered the Byzantine Christian city of...
The Byzantine city of what?
Jerusalem. Jerusalem had been a Byzantine Christian city since Constantine. Mm-hmm. And the Muslims conquered that in 638 A.D. And the hospitals needed to be defended from these Muslim invaders. And so it gave rise to an order of the Knights of Hospitallers, the knights who were defending the travelers and defending these hospitals. And they had a long history of defending the Christians in that area of the world. The Benedictine Monastery, because we're talking about the Benedictine Order, the monastery in Salerno, Italy, founded the oldest and most famous medical school in Western Europe. Again, these are religious orders advancing medical care. Charlemagne, who was crowned Holy Roman Emperor in 800 AD, mm-hmm. he decreed that hospitals, which had fallen into disrepair, should be destroyed. I mean, should be restored because they were being destroyed. And so he put a whole lot of effort into restoring them. And then the bubonic plague, the Black Death, ravaged Europe, killing 75
million. Okay, now we're jumping to the 1300s. You were just at 800. Let's go to, now you're in the 1300s. Go on.
Correct. So Charlemagne was 800, and now we're 500 years later. Those hospitals had been in existence. But when the Black Death happened, 75 million people died. And this was so devastating. Crops were left standing in the fields with no one to harvest them, and there was often no one to bury the dead. So there was an order of Catholic men. Of course, this is before the Reformation in 1517. And they were called Election Brothers, A-L-E-X. There was an ancient Saint Alexis who became a Christian and gave away his money to help the poor. And so these Election Brothers collected the bodies of those who had died of the Black Death and gave them a Christian burial. And of course, some of them weren't completely dead yet, and so they ministered to them while they were dying, and then some of them actually recovered. And so it started to turn into this hospital order of Election Brothers. There are hospitals in America named Election Brothers Hospitals. Well, one of the oldest hospitals in Europe was the Hotel Dieu. Now, you think hotel, right? Well, that's that root word for traveler, hospital and hostel and hospitality. And so the Hotel Dieu in Paris was founded in 660 A.D.
660 A.D., and it's right next to Notre Dame, right next to it.
And it is the oldest hospital there in Europe that's
still operating.
Standing.
Yeah.
And it was staffed from the year 1217 on by sisters who followed the rule of St. Augustine, living a very austere and chaste life. And, well, they continued all the way through 1633, and the Sisters of Charity began helping at the Hotel Dieu. So, again, this is religious orders mm-hmm. that were doing the health care.
Yeah.
Then they established hospitals for the poor throughout France, and they continued, and some other religious orders were started during this time who would collect money to ransom your friend who was captured by the Muslims. So there were, in addition to having orders to take care of the sick, there were religious orders who collected alms and went traveled to North Africa to try to ransom back
wow.
the Christians who had been captured and put into Muslim slavery.
Okay, Bill, we have about 2 minutes remaining. And the fact of the matter is, if you just trace back the history of medicine in the West, you see the love of Jesus Christ is what inspired, you know, the greatest advances. I mean, that's just the facts of history. Dr. Kennedy and I point all this out in one of the chapters of What If Jesus Had Never Been Born. But let's bring it up to today. So somebody might say, so what? Who cares? That was then. You know, what does that have to do with the healthcare debate in modern America? What does it have to do with the fact that the ACLU is trying to force Catholic hospitals against their will and against their mission statement to do abortion? So tie it up to today. Why does this history matter?
Well, the Sisters of Charity, they ended up running 426 hospitals across Europe, and then the French Revolution happened and killed a whole bunch of these poor nuns and chopped their heads off. But then we see in America, it was religious orders. The Sisters of St. Joseph, the Sisters of Mercy, founded in 1827. Little Sisters of the Poor is founded in 1839. Sisters of Providence, Sisters of Charity of St. Augustine, founded in 1851. Father Damon's Leper Colony in Hawaii, founded
right.
in 1864. I could go on and on.
You could go on, and it's the love of Jesus that inspired it all. So let's focus right now on the Little Sisters of the Poor. The Obama administration is saying, we don't care what your convictions are, we're going to force you to pay for abortifacients. And the Beckett Fund is going to court to try and protect the Little Sisters of the Poor, but this may end up going to the Supreme Court. And isn't that amazing? It's like the Christians do all these wonderful things, and then the secularists not only piggyback off of it, but then even try and sue and make it so secular that they violate the conscience rights of the Christians who invented the hospitals in the first place. It's amazing. Your comments,
yeah,
sir.
The total irony that here you have people motivated by religious convictions.
The love of Jesus.
Gave birth to the concept of health care, and now we have a government telling them to abandon those very religious convictions and tell them to embrace abortion and euthanasia and all the rest. And so we need to remind ourselves so that we can say, wait a second, no secular government. We're going to allow people to continue to be motivated by their religious values.
A hospital is Christianity in practice. Even if it's a secular hospital, it's a reflection of the glory of the gospel in the hearts of people who founded this as an organization. So thank you so much for this reminder. Any last thoughts in 20 seconds or less?
Ben Franklin was helpful in founding the first hospital in America, the Protestant hospital, there in Pennsylvania. And the year was 1751. And in the stone right there on the side of the building, it mentions Christ and that the divine blessing upon the event. So
I'll tell you what, if Jesus had never been born, I'll tell you what, if he had never been born, we probably would wish we had never been born. Bill Federer, always a pleasure. AmericanMinute.com for more information. Bill, thank you and God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.